Empire of the Suns.
Suns.
Empire of the Suns.
Arizona Sports presents the Empire of the Suns podcast.
Empire of the Suns.
Welcome to the final Empire of the Suns podcast before Thursday's NBA draft. I'm Kevin Zimmerman, joined by Kellen Olson. I think they're going to take DeAndre Ayton number one, Kellen.
Yeah. It seems like it. I think all of us, including people listening, are kind of fatigued at the number one pick in general, which is extremely selfish because they have the number one pick. We should be really excited, but
right,
we're just kind of ready to have Ayton's name be called and just get to the next point of this.
I've been gone a week plus, and then I came back and I'm just like, I'm already exhausted from just reading everyone yelling at each other about who's better. I don't, like, they're both good. Let's just do the thing. 16's interesting more because we're starting to hear reports, rumors about team's intentions and what they might do as far as trading up and guys they might target. So let's just start with the biggest thing that's kind of developed over the past week. That's Kawhi Leonard and his apparent desire to go to LA or just elsewhere from San Antonio and how that kind of affects the Suns.
It was a really weird thing that happened yesterday. Some gambling dude, I don't even remember his name, was like, whoa, the odds drastically shift on Kawhi to the Suns, which I didn't even know were things that were being tracked, I guess. Apparently, at one point, he was a favorite to go to the Suns, according to a betting site, but all that could be is just one or two people betting a ton of money on it because they heard something, and the odds have gone back to what they were before. So it was just this huge shift that came out of nowhere, and everyone for like 10 minutes, including me sitting at home, was like, is this about to break? Like, you always get like a little rumbling usually, and that seemed like it could be it, but it was nothing. There was poor Scott Bordeaux. We were just talking about it before workouts, how like aggregation is like, make sure to get the key wordage down. That's something me and you always like, make sure to have the exact wordage used. Scott said, like, Scott just threw out there, like, maybe the Suns could be the third team in a Lakers-Spurs-Suns deal. They take on Luol Deng's contract, and they get someone like Lonzo. And then it turned into, like, the Suns are looking into acquiring Luol Deng's contract. And it's like, no, they're not. That's just Scott just suggesting it and just saying it out loud. So that was a thing as well. And then also it was that the Suns were expected, according to Kevin O'Connor, The Ringer, several league sources believed, anticipate was the word, anticipated that Ryan McDonough was going to look into trading for Kawhi with the number one pick because due diligence, like, see what's up. And then immediately Bordeaux and Gambadoro both reported that they're not going to trade the number one pick for Kawhi. So just a lot of smokescreen buzz. The noise really picks up in the last 2 days. Wednesday and Thursday is when the most stuff gets buzzed because that's when teams have to start making real decisions. It's ranking big boards. It's figuring out, okay, we like these eight guys the most. Then you have to get that list down to two or three guys or maybe even one. If you're the Suns, this is where, if we believe them, which I don't at all, that they have their group of five guys. Okay, now they're deciding between two or three guys. Now they have to say, okay, is it Ayton, Jackson, or Doncic, or whatever they're saying. But we know it's Ayton. But that's this time of year. Draft week is the best because apparently Toronto is willing to get rid of everything for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I guess. it's crazy. But the Kawhi thing was basically just dumb noise. But what do you think about, since you were gone from all this, just on a beach, just chilling, enjoying married life, what do you think about the concept of taking on Deng's contract and basically having him and Knight's contract just sitting there and restricting any free agency ability you have, but now you have someone like Lonzo or another good young piece?
I think if it's Lonzo talent, that's something you consider. I mean, that's 2 years down the road. That's foregoing next year's free agency, which we talked about is a big deal because Chandler and Dudley are off the books. Deng's on, I think, $18 to $19 million the next two seasons, so it's significant amount of money. I mean, he's making a bit. But yeah, if you get that piece of Lonzo, that's like a top pick. I mean, he was a top pick. So I guess you can do that, but I don't think the Lakers would just throw in like Alonzo Ball just to get off that money. Like, you can be as confident as you want if you're the Lakers. You can think LeBron James is coming, but even NBA guy, all NBA guys know that you can't do that at this point. You can't just assume, predict, and clear money and give up that kind of asset for that cap space.
They have an absolute metric ton of expiring contracts right now, so they can still take on Kawhi and even sign, I believe, even sign someone like Paul George or LeBron and still have enough room to have Deng. So maybe they sign Paul George and LeBron and they wait on Kawhi. They have the room to do that, I believe, still with Deng. They might have to do a little bit of moving here and there, but I think they're fine. I agree with you. I would take Lonzo for that contract. I think the interesting point in all this is looking at salary structure, and it's like, okay, now you've got all these young guys who you're going to have to re-sign. Like, you have to re-sign Ball and Jackson now at the same time. You have to re-sign Ayton a year later. Do you have any flexibility at all at that point? So that, to me, is like a future team-building thing that's kind of intriguing, just because that option really never comes up for teams at all. And maybe that's something the Suns have to think about, but I think it's mostly crap. That story is like Kawhi wants to leave. He's going to go to LA. How he gets there, who knows, but that's where he's going to wind up, because that's how these things go, because we've all been living in Phoenix long enough seeing star player after star player just wind up on the Lakers because they're the Lakers. This is how it goes.
Yeah, it's not negative thinking. That's the realistic nature of it. That's
Shaq,
him.
Powell. Yeah. You go further back, Kareem, Wilt. It just happens. They traded for Kobe on draft night. He wasn't Kobe then, but it still happened. Like, that's just the way this goes for them.
Rough life
for them. Really struggling over there.
Had a few bad years. Great. Chandler Parsons thing is the other thing that hit the news cycle. Apparently, the Grizzlies are like, yeah, your knees. Is it knees or feet? I don't even remember. He hasn't played
knees,
in so long.
Knees, I believe. Yeah, knees.
Your knees are so bad that we would like to trade you away from here. And also, their owner or GMs think that... Was their GM?
I don't know their owner's name, but he rarely talks. And yeah. He gave an interview where he said he thinks this team has 50-win potential next year, which would explain why we've heard a report, the Athletic's Michael Scotto reported, that they are exploring the possibility of attaching Parsons' contract to the number 4 pick to get more of a win now piece, and then also use like that leftover money to get that guy, to get the guy in free agency, and just keep moving up towards like, okay, yeah, I guess if you add like a third and fourth piece to Conley and Gasol and they stay healthy, I guess maybe that's 50 wins, but moving the number 4 pick is such an incredible asset that it would just be so dumbfounding to move that to shed money.
That's Luka, that's Marvin Bagley, Jaren Jackson Jr., basically. One of those guys is going to fall there.
Yeah, or Bamba. Even for someone like Bamba, anyone in that third tier, in my opinion, like Trey, MPJ, like I wouldn't... Moving a salary? No way.
We're just going down this list and squashing everything, basically. We're so sorry.
That just doesn't seem realistic to me. I don't see where the Suns come into that at all, because they have no win-now piece that they would be interested in. Yes, they could take on the contract, I guess, in like a 3-4 team deal or something crazy like that and get the number 4 pick somehow too. But it's if they were at like 8 or 9 in this draft, maybe. But I think they want to trade down in that scenario. They don't want to just like give up the number 4 pick entirely.
No. Realistic-ish more buzz. That was in the wrong order of those words.
Well, this is just like where we're getting to like players moving up and teams being interested in getting players. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the big name right now. Last week it was Kevin Knox, who I think one of my best calls, or probably the only good call I've had in my life. It was like last month's podcast where I just said, I think Kevin Knox is going to go before one of the Bridges. He's going to have like really good workouts. And hey, look, now people are like, oh, Jason Tatum, who's the next? That guy's going 15? No, he's going 8. We're taking him 9. We're the Knicks.
It was like, why was he there in the first place? And then same thing with Shai, kind of like he's very raw and you might have to wait on his development, but you know he's going to be like what he's going to be good at. A lot of these other guys are more falling into that role player or super developmental category.
So the Shai buzz right now is that Cleveland is enamored with him, according to Jonathan Givony of ESPN. There is Toronto buzz from Mark Stein, who said they love him. He grew up an hour away. He's everything they want, and anything is available for them. They're like willing to discuss anything that they have, which is pretty crazy considering they just won the most games in the Eastern Conference. Sports Illustrated's Jeremy Wu reported that his floor seems to be 11. He's not falling past 11. And we thought he was a guy that could fall to 16. It doesn't seem like that's likely now. Do you see the Suns in this situation hearing this and trying to move up for him even more? I always thought that he was like a 10 to 12 guy if you were going to move up. Like, moving up to 9 or 8 for him would be so stupid.
Yeah, I don't think that that's realistic for the Suns. But on the other token, if that's true stuff that we're hearing about that, then, I mean, there's talk right now he could be the first point guard off the board. That means over Trae Young, over Colin Sexton. So if, like, Trae Young's probably going to go before Colin Sexton, because apparently Colin Sexton's pre-draft process has just not gone well for whatever reason. I haven't even paid attention to that as much as I should, I guess, because what if Colin Sexton falls to 12 or something? Then do the Suns think about something? So that's one of those chain reaction things where it affects the Suns, but it also could affect them in like, oh, Colin's on the board. I don't know.
Yeah, we all love Shea. I never had like the stat to say it, but I was like, dude can't shoot yet. Like, we don't know if he can shoot yet. I never had the stat. Illegal Screens tweeted out yesterday. Really good follow. A general reminder that Shea Gilgeous-Alexander shot less threes this year than Mo Bamba, and he's tried less than 20 pull-up jumpers. We have no idea if he can shoot yet. We have no clue. Yeah. We have no clue if this guy can shoot off the dribble, and he's a point guard, and he could go in the top 10. I like him. I have him ranked like 13 or 14 and think he's like top 11, 12 on the Suns board, but taking him over Trae Young is nuts. That's insane.
Yeah.
Which would benefit the Suns, which is where we get to the possibility of Trae Young falling. ESPN's mock draft came out. That is Intel-based, by the way. They go off their reporting on their board. Gavoni came on a radio station today and said that he has Luka number one. I'm pretty sure Schmitz is in that same camp too, but they have Aiden at number one on their board because that's what they're hearing and that's where everything is at. But they had Trey falling to number 12 in their mock.
That's Clippers, right?
That's the Clippers, which is where you get to the point where once he falls past like the Knicks at 9, the Suns have to start. Like, they have to really, really be aggressive, because at that point, you're looking past like defensive ceiling questions and just looking at sheer value. Like, this is a guy who has to be top 5 or 6 on the Suns board. He has to be, right?
Yeah.
There's no way he's not outside their top 6. Even if they think he's going to be like one of the worst defensive players of the league, his shooting and passing alone for them, even as a third guard, like if you're trading
worst
up
case,
to him,
yeah.
If you're trading up to him for him at 11 or 12 or whatever it is, and you're just looking at him as a third guard for even the next 2 years, that's fine, because he's exactly what you kind of need.
If he's Brevin Knight, you're still like, all right.
Okay.
That's a little too harsh. Yeah, I'm sorry. Kellen just like almost threw up all over the board.
Brevin Knight is... it's not much to get me to like look like I'm going to throw up this week, to be fair. Still materializing the possibility we could have a DeAndre and Aaron Holiday draft here. Let's not talk about that yet. We'll save that for Thursday. Trey at 12 is nuts. I've said it like 3 or 4 times. I cannot believe it, that it's a possibility that he's going to fall out of the top 10. We were talking about him in like March and April. Like, yeah, maybe he falls. And I think when we were saying that, we were like, yeah, 8, 9, or 10. Because we were looking at him like a potential top 5 pick back then in like February when he was just going nuts.
Yeah.
If he falls to 10, 11, 12, the Suns don't trade up and they take Aaron Holiday, that's going to be a rough go. It's going to be a really tough stuff.
Tough stuff to take in.
That's what that would be. I think that adds up to something else, though, that we should talk about before we get into kind of final sign-offs here before the draft, our final pod before the draft. The one thing to watch for the most for the Suns right now is when they're picking a number 16, like once Ayton goes, whatever, like trades or we're keeping an eye on that. Let's keep an eye on who rises in this draft. Jerome Robinson out of Boston College was a borderline first round pick like 6 weeks ago, and now he could go in the lottery apparently.
He get a green room? Is that what happened?
He's in the green room. someone else is in there that's kind of Chandler Hutchinson is there, yeah. But I believe it's because he has a first round promise, and I don't know. They always do that. Every year there's like three or four dudes. Like, remember Deontay Davis was in the green room and he had to wait until the second round?
It's like, yeah, you guys might want to pump the brakes on like the random guy who's the 20, like in the 20s.
So my point is, something we discussed a lot on the number 16 podcast is that you seem to agree with me on this, I believe, is that 16 guys we really, really like. And then once it gets to 17, we're talking about Troy Brown and Musa and DiVincenzo and Herder and Mitchell Robinson and those kind of guys. It's like, oh, yeah, they're fine.
Sure.
But it's not Zaire Smith. It's not Lonnie Walker. It's not, I guess, not Robert Williams anymore anyway. But it's one of those guys can slip now. Shea, Colin Sexton, who knows? So Jerome Robinson, Kevin Herter, Aaron Holiday, maybe the Suns do that themselves. That's the thing that happened in the ESPN mock, is that the Suns taking Holiday at 16 caused Robert Williams to fall to the Spurs, which is, of course, he falls to the Spurs. So I think that's the thing to keep an eye on. So if you see, it doesn't matter because one of those guys is going to be there at 16. That's just the way this works with 16 guys. But if we see Herter go at 14 or DiVincenzo goes at 15 or 13 or whatever, it's like, okay, now one of those guys is going to be there. One more of those guys is going to be there for sure.
Do you want to go into predictions, guesses? How do you want to wrap this?
Expectations? We've covered a lot of this. I think the main thing that's going to be disappointing, because we're pessimistic because the Suns just won 21 games, is that if they are up at 16, they don't trade up, and let's just say they trade down and they pick up like another second round pick or a protected first or whatever to trade down, you just go like, what are you guys doing?
Right.
If you take Aaron Holiday at 16, what are you guys doing? Even if you trade down and take Aaron Holiday or DiVincenzo or whatever, like one of those guys, I wouldn't put DiVincenzo in there. Holiday, to me, is a second-round pick. I don't know how you feel about Aaron Holiday, but we talked about it when we brought him up at 31. It's like he's in the Jalen Brunson, Javon Carter group for me.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of splits me because it's like he put up really good numbers, but we talked about it. It's just you never really noticed it. Like, you don't look at him as an NBA player, even though he's super productive in college. And maybe that's just us overlooking it, and we're looking at, like, we were watching DeAndre Ayton too closely. I don't know, in those games that we did watch. But, yeah, there's definitely a bit of risk of disappointment with number 16. And I think that's why we've spent so much time talking about trading up, because the options even at 12, 13 look a lot better than 16. And I think you get a rotation player who produces now, whether it's the Bridgeses, if the Suns feel like getting one of them, if Trae Young fell, if Shea was still there at 12 or 13, then that's completely different than if they took Aaron Holiday at 16. So, yeah, that's the biggest risk there.
And it's that the only assets that should be really out of touch for you guys is just an unprotected pick, just because the new lottery system. Are we ever going to see an unprotected first get traded with the new lottery system? I don't even think we will.
No.
So I don't think you can even give up like a top three. You like top one if it's like a humongous deal, I guess. But I think top three protected, top five protected picks, like, you can't let anything go there. You can't let the Miami pick go because this is something you might have missed. Zach Lowe reported that they might switch to one and done in 2020-21, season. So that would effectively have two draft classes in one for the 2021 draft, which would be very good for the Miami Heat pick. So you'd be looking at like the top prospects from the draft that was supposed to be the year after, along with the class that was already supposed to come out. And it's just going to be insane, the amount of quality in that. We don't know how good those players are in theory, but just looking at it, it's two classes, so I don't think that pick is up. I think guys on the roster that are expendable, I think everyone but Jackson and Booker and whoever they take one, which is probably going to be DeAndre Ayton, are not in these types of deals. But even Dragan Bender, even Marquese Chris, if you really have to do this, I don't really see. It's been 2 years. If you have to, if you're looking at seven or eight and you absolutely have to. I wouldn't absolutely hate it. I would disagree with it because I don't think any of those guys are good enough fits to absolutely give up everything for. And I feel like Chris and Bender, you just have to stick it out at this point.
Yeah.
But there's really no other. That's going to be the thing is I hope they, it's not just like the expectation, the hope that they'll do something. It's like, don't just take the lottery caliber guy at 16. Don't take Aaron Holiday. Don't take, I don't know who else would be there. Like Okobo would probably be mildly disappointing.
I mean, that's why at 16, if trading up's hard, man, like if you can't do it, then I honestly would be more excited if you swing and you take like even a Robert Williams and just say, hey, see if he pans out. Or if there's a way to trade back or trade out of this year's draft even completely and get a first round pick in the future that's lightly protected-ish from a decent team, something where you get that pick back again or something maybe that could end up higher. I don't know. But those are things that I think definitely settling would be disappointing, I guess is the word.
It's going to suck if they take someone like Holiday is the example we keep using just because like the junior, senior types like DiVincenzo, Holiday, taking someone there for the sake of them being able to contribute next year or the year after, contributing immediately would be a humongous oversight. It's like, how much is a mid-first round pick going to help you guys this year and next year anyway? Just take the best talent that's there. And maybe they think that's whoever it is in that range, Holiday, DiVincenzo, like the 3-and-D guys back there, Khyree Thomas, Jacob Evans. They could reach on those guys. Who knows? That would be very disappointing. And everyone listening knows how we feel about Ayn Doncic already. So kind of to take another L at 16 would hurt a bit.
Chances, just to circle back to clear this up, is there any chance they don't take Ayton?
Yeah.
I still think so, too.
It's only based on stuff we're hearing.
Yep.
If they wanted to take Doncic right now, we would not know.
I think they're, like, I would put is there a place to put money on this? That's why we need sports betting to be legal so I can do these things.
There are, yes.
Yeah.
I would definitely, if I was the wagering type, I would lay down a Doncic bet right now. I believe I saw that Doncic was like 3-4-1. 3-1, 4-1, something like that.
Yeah.
Just because, there's a chance that they love Doncic and they're just saying this because they want to try and get a Philadelphia-Boston thing going because Ayton is the overwhelming favorite to go number one right now. Sacramento, same thing. Like, we're hearing Bagley and Porter and stuff, but maybe they just like Doncic and they're not going to tell anyone. Atlanta, like, supposedly doesn't like Doncic, even if their GM has been like, we're taking the best available player, and it's like,
you guys don't have any players, so you need the best. Yeah.
It's like, you guys are really going to take Jaren Jackson over Doncic? Like, that's what you're going to do? I'm ready to get there, and I think there is a chance. I think there's a chance for everything, including Shea going over Trey, including Knox going over on the Bridges, including, like, Mitchell Robinson going over Robert Williams. Like, there's a lot of weird stuff that could happen, and Jerome Robinson going in the lottery is certainly one of them, and it's going to keep going. It's going to be a really fun draft. I'm very excited to just watch it unfold because there's so much unpredictable stuff. Usually I just watch a draft and go like, oh, I like him in there. Like, I like Lowry in Chicago. Oh, I like Jordan Bell on the Warriors. It's kind of like that for me, but this year I'm just excited to see what happens because
I think this podcast has illustrated just like I have no idea. There's nothing that can convince me of anything right now other than the Suns, like, were super playing up press conferences, which they're going to do because they have the first pick. Maybe that's the only reason. So
we are not betting our life on them taking Ayton. Like, we're not because we don't know.
Yeah.
Would I bet you, like, $20 they're going to take Ayton? Yeah, but that's not betting my life.
No.
I wouldn't bet a down payment on a house or anything.
Never bet a down payment on a house on anything.
That's bad move. Bad move, gambling addicts listening.
Anything else? We good?
Nah, man. It's weird how we're finally here.
Can you hear the exhaustion in our voices as all of you yell at everyone else's opinion over who's better between Doncic and Ayton still?
Yeah. It's just nuts how we go Friday is reacts and Thursday night is reacts. And then I guess like Saturday, Sunday, we kind of have a break. And then Monday, it's like off season. And then that next 2 weeks is off season and summer league. And then like mid-July, we're able to breathe finally. But it's like we're still like a month away from being able to breathe.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Thanks for listening as always. We'll definitely have a podcast up at some point after the draft if Kellen gets out of there and if I get work done here. Who knows if that happens ever?
I have no idea what's going to happen that night, including if we're able to record a podcast that night. I don't know.
Our heads explode, we will not do a podcast.
Unlikely.
If they take Jaren Jackson Jr. first overall.
That would be a whole nother thing, man. Oh, man.